Sounds like the mic's on. Good. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to look this morning at the enduring Word of God. That'll be the title of the sermon, the enduring Word of God. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but the Word of the Lord will not pass away. The Word of God will endure forever. The Word of God is His revelation of Himself to us. We know that God is from everlasting to everlasting. It's impossible to ever get close to knowing Him fully. But He has revealed Himself sufficiently to us so that we might know Him deeply and follow Him wholeheartedly. So today, I want to look at the enduring Word of God as revealed in the life of the prophet Jeremiah. Let's have a look at how Jeremiah begins. Jeremiah chapter 1, first three verses. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. So there's a lot of history packed into those words. The word of the Lord kept on coming throughout the times of these kings of Judah, and not one word was wasted. We are told that these words are the words of Jeremiah, to whom the word of the Lord came. So the human word and the divine word are not separated. And further on in Jeremiah chapter 1, in verse 9, we read that the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." So God's word has been given to us through the filter of human personality. And in the New Testament, in the letter to the Hebrews, there is more light shone on this connection between the divine and the human. So the letter to Hebrews begins like this. "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." And then it goes on to say in the second verse, "But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world." So God has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And in Jesus, we see the human and the divine coming together in perfect harmony. This is how the Apostle John describes Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So in Jesus, the Word of God is seen to be glorious and full of grace and truth. The Word of God has been progressively revealed throughout history until its fullness of revelation in Jesus, when the Word of God came and dwelt among us in human form. And each revelation of the Word of God throughout history has brought with it its own special help to God's people. And so in the revelation of God's Word to Jeremiah, we can see fresh facets of God's glory. We've already noted that the Word of God is very happy to express itself through the words and the person of Jeremiah. For we read that the Lord had said to Jeremiah, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." This is quite remarkable in many ways because Jeremiah, like all the Old Testament prophets, was flawed. But the word of God was not hindered by imperfect people. And so God still spoke his perfect word through imperfect people. So Jeremiah brought this perfect word of God to the people for 40 years. He brought the word to the people in the kingdom of Judah. You may remember that Judah was the southern kingdom, and it was separated from Israel, the northern kingdom, when Solomon died. And now we're in the time of Jeremiah, many years later. The northern kingdom of Israel has been conquered by Assyria, and the people have been taken into captivity. So Jeremiah comes to the kingdom of Judah with the message that, a warning from God, that unless the people of Judah turn away from their persistent unfaithfulness to the Lord, they will suffer the same fate as the people of Israel. They will be conquered and taken into captivity. So, the word of God in Jeremiah proved itself to be an enduring word throughout these 40 years of Jeremiah's ministry. It kept on coming through good times and through bad times. And it started in, as we read earlier, in the 13th year of King Josiah. King Josiah was the son of King Amon. And King Amon did not leave a good legacy, a good inheritance for Josiah. This is what the Bible says about King Amon in 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 19 to 22. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haruz of Jotbah, and he did what land, he'd established his covenant agreement with the people, whereby they would be his people, he would be their God. And Amon and his father before him had abandoned all of this and neglected the covenant with God. So Amon had given Josiah a poor inheritance. But in the mercy of God, when Josiah ascended to the throne, at the tender age of 8 years old, he sought the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David, his father. And he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. So when it says David, his father, it's referring to David being his ancestor. David was a significant ancestor. He was held up as the gold standard of faithfulness to God, of leading the people in faithful obedience. But of course, David was not perfect. And like all the kings of Judah and Israel, as well as all the prophets, they were flawed. The only perfect king and prophet is Jesus. So while acknowledging that nobody is perfect, the most significant behavior of the kings of Judah and Israel is whether they did right in the sight of the Lord or whether they did evil in the sight of the Lord. It's not their wealth, it's not their power, it's how they respond to the word of God. King David said, this is Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So David guarded his way according to the word of the Lord. David is the standard of devotion that the love of God should have inspired in all the kings, all the prophets, all the people. David also said, again, Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Without God's word, we walk in darkness. There is no truth to guide us. There's no grace to inspire us. The 8-year-old Josiah, he must have had God-fearing advisors to begin with. But as he grew, Josiah took the word of God to be his own light to live by. And he remained faithful to the Lord for the 31 years that he reigned as king. Josiah brought reform to Judah after the neglect of the word of God by his predecessors. Josiah restored pure temple worship according to the book of the law. He restored the annual feasts. Josiah broke down the altars to false gods in the high places of Judah. And Josiah renewed the covenant with the Lord, not only for himself, but he included all the people. So all the people reaffirmed the covenant that they would be God's people, faithful to God, and he would be their God. However, although Judah had good godly leadership under Josiah, all we can say is that during the reign of Josiah, the word of the Lord came at religious times. And I mean religious in a disparaging way, because although the people renewed the covenant, their hearts weren't in it. It was a superficial observance. King Josiah was sincere, but many of the people were not sincere. Not long after Josiah's death, Jeremiah brought a word to the people. This is Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 3 to 7. Jeremiah says, for 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, to this day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken persistently to you, but you have not listened. You have neither listened nor inclined your ears to hear, although the Lord persistently sent to you all his servants, the prophets, saying, turn now every one of you from his evil way and evil deeds, and dwell upon the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers from of old and forever. Do not go after other gods to serve and worship them, or provoke me to anger with the work of your hands. Then I will do you no harm. Yet you have not listened to me, declares the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm. So the reign of Josiah had come as a relief to the people after the oppression and violence under his predecessors. And the return to the word of the Lord, the law of God, under Josiah had meant a great improvement in justice and peace. But the hearts of the people were not wholly turned to the Lord. And as we've just read, there was a great criticism from the Lord through Josiah. One or two generations ago, our society was a bit like that. We were religious. We had a name for being a Christian nation. But individual hearts were not renewed. They were merely held in check. And that should be a warning to church attenders in this day and age. For some churchgoers, their lives are merely held in check by the good lives of others. For unless a person comes into a life-changing connection with the Word of God, unless a person comes into a personal relationship with God, then they will always lack a suitable, stable foundation on which to build their lives. And they will be swept away with the mass of people who glory in rejecting the Word of God. So, in the days of Josiah, the word of the Lord came in religious times. The word was proclaimed faithfully, but few people took it seriously. And the word of God kept on coming into the reign of King Jehoiakim, who was the son of Josiah. Jehoiakim had a good inheritance from his godly father. But in the time of Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came in hostile times. And this is perhaps more like our own society of today. This is what the Bible says about Jehoiakim. 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 36 and 37. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebedah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. So King Jehoiakim did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he was actively hostile to God's word. It was dangerous to speak in the name of the Lord during the reign of Jehoiakim. Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 20 to 23. There was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah the son of Shemaiah from Kiriath-Jearim. He prophesied against this city and against this land in words like those of Jeremiah. And when King Jehoiakim, with all his warriors and all the officials, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard of it, he was afraid and fled and escaped to Egypt. Then King Jehoiakim sent to Egypt certain men, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and others with him. And they took Uriah from Egypt and brought him to King Jehoiakim, who struck him down with the sword and dumped his body into the burial place of the common people. Such was the fate of Uriah, the prophet of the Lord. And Jeremiah was in similar danger every time he spoke the word of the Lord during the reign of King Jehoiakim. But God's faithful people have always been willing to speak the word of the Lord, even in the face of God-opposing rulers. You remember the apostles, Peter and John, were brought up before the rulers of Jerusalem. Acts chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." So Peter and John were not put to death at this time because God was in control of their lives, not the rulers of Jerusalem. But not many years later, James, the brother of John, was killed by King Herod, who persecuted the church. And later, Peter also was put to death for speaking the word of God to the people. John himself was not killed. He lived a long life, but he was sent into exile for speaking the word of God. So James was killed, and John remained. And Uriah the prophet was killed, and Jeremiah remained. Whether they lived or died, they did all to the glory of God. John went on to receive a further revelation of the word of God when he was in exile, when he received from Jesus what we now know as the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Jesus, speaking to the church, says, "The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So it is costly to follow Jesus, but the joy of his approval will last for eternity. He will confess our name before his Father and before the angels. Jeremiah was not killed by King Jehoiakim, but he was banned from the house of God so that the word of God might not be heard in the temple. But the word of God would not be silenced. It's too important to be silenced. Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 1 to 3. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. "Take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations, from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah until today. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." The Lord persists in giving people opportunity to turn from their evil ways. He instructs them to return to the covenant of love and devotion, which they had abandoned. Jeremiah arranged for the words of these scroll to be read out in the temple. And when they were read out, they were heard by some people from the court of Jehoiakim. And they were alarmed at the fierce judgments that the Lord was promising to Judah. And so they took the scroll to King Jehoiakim, and they read the words out to him. And this is what he did. Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 22 to 25. "It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter house, and there was a fire burning in the fire pot before him. As Jehudi read three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a knife and throw them into the fire in the fire pot until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fire pot. Yet neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words was afraid, nor did they tear their garments. Even when Elnathan and Deliah and Jeremiah urged the king not to burn the scroll, he would not listen to them." So King Jehoiakim hardened his heart to the word of God. He destroyed the scroll with the words of God written on them. But of course, the word of God will not be stopped by burning a scroll. And so we read in Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 27 to 31. Now after the king had burned the scroll with the words that Baruch wrote at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Take another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you shall say, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and will cut off from it man and beast? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat by day and the frost by night. And I will punish him and his offspring and his servants for their iniquity. I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the people of Judah all the disaster that I have pronounced against them, but they would not hear. So burning the scroll would not stop the word of God. Judgment and justice will catch up with everybody one day, whether in this life or in the next. There is mercy for everyone who listens to the word of God, but judgment for those who refuse to hear. So, in the time of Jeremiah, the word of God endured. It endured through religious times, and it endured through hostile times. And the word of the Lord also endured through vacillating times. So let me explain. The next person that Jeremiah mentions is King Zedekiah. Zedekiah vacillated, he dithered, he was indecisive. He listened to Jeremiah, but he also listened to everybody else, and not in a good way. He turned this way, turned that way. He had no conviction whatsoever. Zechariah feared the people, and he was too weak to protect Jeremiah from persecution by the religious leaders. But when the king of Babylon attacked Jerusalem, Zedekiah summoned Jeremiah from prison in order to get consultation from the word of God, get counsel rather. So, Jeremiah chapter 38, verses 17 to 20. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then your life will be spared, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then this city shall be given into the hands of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand. King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Judeans who have deserted to the Chaldeans, lest I be handed over to them and they deal cruelly with me. Jeremiah said, you shall not be given to them. Obey now the voice of the Lord in what I say to you, and it shall be well with you, and your life shall be spared. So Zedekiah wanted God's help, but he didn't want it God's way. And he did not submit to the word of God. Zedekiah dithered his way to oblivion because Jerusalem was destroyed and the people who survived were taken into captivity. So, in the time of Jeremiah, the word of God endured. It endured through religious times, through hostile times, and through vacillating times. Whether people were interested or disinterested, whether people were hostile or undecided, the word of the Lord kept on coming. Human rulers come and go, but the word of the Lord endures through all times and in all places. And the word of God demands a response from us. Our response to the word of God is very important. So let's finish by looking at the immense significance of our lives to God. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Like Jeremiah, we have all been called into existence by God, however short or long our life on earth may be. And Jeremiah's calling had a far-reaching impact. The word of God spoken through Jeremiah caused consternation in Jeremiah's time among the people of his time. But it has brought great strength and comfort to countless believers throughout the ages. Because the word of God through Jeremiah shows us that in judgment, God remembers mercy. Jeremiah wasn't sent into captivity, but he did write a letter to the captives in Babylon. Even in exile, the word of God kept on coming. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 to 12. This is part of the letter that Jeremiah wrote to the captives in Babylon. "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you." The purpose of judgment is restoration. We read in the book of Daniel that from his exile in Babylon, Daniel read these words from Jeremiah, and Daniel believed the promise of God to restore the people. And he was prompted to pray that the exiles would return to Jerusalem from Babylon. Daniel believed the word of God spoken by Jeremiah. The word of God spoken to Jeremiah also had a far-reaching impact on Jeremiah himself. Jeremiah persevered through persecution and even through his own failures. As Jeremiah listened to the word of God and as he faithfully proclaimed it, the word of God shaped Jeremiah into a Christ-like person and produced a depth and an integrity to his life. And these Christ-like qualities produced in Jeremiah will endure forever, for Jeremiah will stand in his allotted place at the end of days. He will stand with all those who have truly listened to the word of God, to all those whose hearts have been restored by Jesus Christ, who is the enduring word of God. Amen.